we're back. New episode of Brick House Podcast. First episode of the Brick House 2016-2017 team previews.
We could officially call this season two, I guess, huh?
Season two of Brick House. Yeah. Hey, cheers to that, Matt.
Who are you?
I'm Bob Johnson.
And I'm Matt Baker. You think we would have figured that out by season two.
69 episodes in. Yeah, we're previewing, starting, of course, with the worst team in the NBA and working our way up to the best team, one team at a time. The first team on our list, for the first time in probably 3 years, we are predicting a team to be worse than the Philadelphia 76ers, Matt.
Wow.
That team is the Brooklyn Nets. And last year we did a segment where we made an analogy, sort of comparison metaphor for how teams sucked, or, you know, how the Houston Rockets were like Quentin Tarantino movies, yeah, for example.
Sure.
This year we're going to try something a little different. We are going to do some fake reporting, Matt, mm-hmm, where we're going to eavesdrop, find ourselves in little scenes with different executives, players, fans of these teams. I'm going to have some people play them. You might think that it's Mikhail Prokhorov in this next segment, but it's really just a friend of ours pretending to put on a Russian accent.
I could see where people would get confused.
Yeah, and it's going to be very realistic, not for the faint of heart. Let me introduce this first segment. So last year, it was rumored that Sean Marks, the assistant GM of the San Antonio Spurs, was offered the GM of Brooklyn job, and he turned it down. Wasn't interested in going from one of the best teams in the NBA to the guaranteed worst team in the NBA, right? So a little bit of a backstory. We told you last year, Russian Nets Russian Nets, yeah. Their owner, Mikhail Prokhorov, he made his fortune in the mining industry in Russia, mm-hmm, in a way that he was quoted as saying would not have been legal in the United States. Mm-hmm. He water skis. He was kicked out. Or he doesn't water ski. Jet skis. Mm-hmm. He was kicked out of France at one point for bringing prostitutes to a party. He's basically a 6'7" Soviet Bond villain. And Sean Marks, on the other hand, is this goofy-ass white basketball player that used to play for the Spurs. He's from New Zealand. I bet he's a nice guy. But either way, he didn't want to take this GM job for the Nets. Except at the 11th hour, something happened to change Sean Marks' mind. And this is the scene here that we're introducing. This is the call where Sean Marks decided to take the GM job. So pay attention. Oh, and by the way, this is definitely a joke if you weren't clear on that. It's not really Mikhail Prokhorov. Please don't send the Kremlin after us. Just a joke.
G'day, this is Sean.
In Russia, we know not to raise our lambs near wolves.
What's that?
When man hands you sword, you do not hand it back.
So, the lamb farmers have swords?
It's called shepherd, Sean. But yes, even wolf has sword in Russia.
All right.
You're a family man, Sean, yes?
Oh, yeah. Jennifer and I have 4 kids. Quick little buggers.
Children are like lambs, Sean. And I am like wolf with sword.
Oh, mate, see, I'm not really familiar with the Russian fairy tale.
I'm saying become GM, Sean, or I devour your family. Trade deadline is next week.
All right.
See you on Monday, Sean. It's funny tie day.
I know that was fake, Matt, but I'm still pretty scared.
You know, it's nice to know, even though he's super threatening, that he still has room for funny tie day.
And the next segment is a cue by Brendan Eder of Brendan Eder Ensemble. Might sound like David Bowie, but again, one of our friends just doing an endearing impersonation of him.
Don't send the Kremlin after us for this one either.
Change.
Of course, the Nets of this year are really bad, and they're even worse than the Nets of last year. There was a lot of changes on the roster, so we want to tell you about them. The Nets only brought back five players from last year's
crazy.
Roster.
Yeah.
Five.
They brought back Bojan Bogdanovic, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, Brook Lopez, Sean Kilpatrick, and Chris McCullough. They at one point over the summer we were doing the right before free agency, we did quite a bit on the Nets of what are they going to do? They only have five players. I think, if I remember correctly, the day of the podcast they had seven players, and then right before the podcast they cut two.
Right.
Jarrett Jack being one of them.
Right.
And Wayne Ellington, I think, was the other one. So that was the subtractions were those two, and then they lost Shane Larkin and Thomas Robinson. I'm going to give you a quick rundown of all the names they added here. I'm going to try to do it super fast. Jeremy Lin, Trevor Booker, Luis Scola, Justin Hamilton, Randy Foy, Grievous Vasquez, Caris LeVert, Anthony Bennett, Joe Harris, Isaiah Whitehead.
Okay. That's a lot of names.
Yeah, so they got LeVert and Whitehead in the draft. They actually didn't have any picks. They had to trade to get both those guys. Remember, they lost lost Thad Young, too. He was a subtraction.
Yeah, Thad Young to Indiana.
Yeah, so I think the question is now with this team, is Jeremy Lin going to do over under 20 points per game that Jeremy Lin averages on this team this year?
I think it's over 20 points.
Yeah.
Yeah, we also said some new additions. Obviously, Sean Marks,
right.
The GM. Maybe it wasn't his first choice, but he's here.
He's here.
And also the head coach,
Kenny Atkinson.
Apparently, Jeremy Lin made his decision to go to Brooklyn first because they gave him $36 million, but second because he knows Kenny Atkinson from his time on the New York Knicks.
Okay.
Yeah, my prediction is we're going to have Linsanity 2.0 here.
Yeah.
I think there's going to be a couple of exciting games, but of course this team's going to finish last in the NBA.
You know, I'm sorry, I forgot. They were really aggressive at the outset because they also threw money at Tyler Johnson and Alan Crabb.
Right.
So the changes segment, we could have this also known as Brooklyn Nets, out with the everything, in with the, well, we will try to get a lot of stuff and end up with different stuff.
In with the Jeremy Lin cornrows.
Yeah, it wasn't. So I guess their team wasn't for a lack of trying. It just they threw money at restricted free agents.
No one expected Miami to match $50 million for Tyler Johnson.
Oh, so. No one.
That was surprising.
Right. So there's a lot of changes, Bob.
You know, Billy King was the GM before Sean Marks. He was not fired from Brooklyn, but demoted. Which makes me think that he must probably know where Prokhorov's bodies are buried.
Oh, so he's still
with
the team.
Yeah.
What, like community outreach? What does he do?
He goes on Wojnarowski's podcast and doesn't talk shit about Brooklyn Nets.
Is his new position the, as soon as we have more first-round picks to trade, we will let you trade them?
He's got Danny Ainge on speed dial.
Yeah.
And now, the starting lineup for your Brooklyn!
Jeremy Lin
at point guard.
Right.
Bojan Bogdanovic, shooting guard.
Yeah, I have him ranked as the highest ranked Bogdanovic in the NBA. Yeah. All of a sudden, we went from zero to two Bogdanoviches, and I was really confused by them.
Bob, but you had to get those rankings out, too.
Yeah. So Bojan is the Croatian one,
right,
and the better of the Bogdanoviches currently. Yeah. Whereas Bogdan was traded on draft night to Sacramento, so from Phoenix.
Yeah.
So either he'll get the ball every trip down the court, as GM Vlade insists.
Sure.
Or we'll never hear from him again.
Right.
He's also Serbian.
Serbian. What's the difference there, Bob?
Spelling.
Did I have sound more?
Spelling.
Sound more?
One letter.
No, I was talking about the difference between Croatia and Serbia.
I don't know.
Okay, yeah, that's the shooting guard. And, okay, good to know he ranks number one on the Bogdanovic rankings.
Yeah.
Small forward, we have Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, who's coming back. This is his sophomore campaign, as they like to say.
Yeah, I like him.
Trevor Booker at power forward, who they just signed, as we just stated. And Brook Lopez, who knows what you'll get out of Brook Lopez this year. How did he do last year? Is this a year where he plays all season, or is this a year where he misses half the season? Doesn't he alternate?
I think he's going to spend a lot of time just curled up with his cat this winter. He's got his new contract this past summer. So
yeah, well,
he's due to take some time off.
Sure, he played 73 games last season, and he actually played 72 the year before. So the problem with this team, you know, one of the a million problems, is because of the pick situation, they have no incentive to lose, and they're not good enough to win. Brook Lopez's value is not going to get any higher. It might not be that much now, but at some point you got to try and trade to get something, like they did with Thad Young. They had to trade Thad Young to get Caris LeVert to get that pick.
Maybe that's what will end up happening, trading Brook Lopez for like a 15th pick in the draft next year.
Yeah.
I visited Jeremy Lin's website as part of research for this episode of the podcast, only to discover that he sells a collectible Kung Fu action figure
Amazing.
Of himself.
Love it.
Kung Fu Linsanity. For only $17, Matt.
Actually, that seems like a good deal these days.
Guy went to Harvard. He knows what he's doing with the ironic hipster purchases.
Yeah.
Record prediction.
They were 21-61 last year. I got them at 19-63 this year.
19-63?
I feel like that's kind of generous.
19 is pretty generous. My predictions are that they will be 16-66, Bob.
Oh, 666. I like that.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I didn't even realize it.
Very excited to introduce our next segment, another new segment for this year. It's If You're Going to Beat San Francisco.
Okay.
Which is the Warriors, for those who don't know. I say, I'm not sure if even Vladimir Putin himself could help the Nets beat the Warriors yeah. this year or in the next 10 years. But maybe if Prokhorov offered Draymond the rights to like the billion-dollar iron ore mines of Russia,
yeah.
he could get like an inside man. You know, because you wouldn't need Draymond to just sit out. You would need him to actively help the Nets win for that ever to happen.
Right.
But they still are going to have to get LeBron, past LeBron in the playoffs, and LeBron already owns the iron ore mines in China, so I don't know if, you know, he can even be bought anymore.
Right.
The iron ore mines were, of course, part of his latest Nike lifetime deal.
Of course.
That's how Maverick negotiates for him.
Yeah. The New York Jets play at the San Francisco 49ers on December 11th.
Okay.
So I think that might be New York's best chance to win in to beat San Francisco
nice.
This year.
Nice.
I don't know about the Nets beating the Warriors, so the Jets might have to do it.
They have a much better chance, I agree.
Yeah.
You know, back by popular demand, Matt, we have the personal anecdote with Matt Baker section.
And now it's time for a personal anecdote with Matt Baker.
I asked you for a lot of anecdotes that last year, so this year I'm going to have anecdote questions and just some straight-up philosophy and thoughts of Matt Baker.
Good.
Let's not limit ourselves to only anecdotes.
Right.
So
it's more personal answers to questions segment.
So the Nets this year, they don't have a lot going for them on the basketball court, right? But they still need to sell tickets to the games. So right. they're threatening to have a Pokemon Go themed night, you know, at the Brooklyn Center, whatever the hell they call it.
You said they're threatening, Bob.
They're threatening.
Okay.
Yeah. I feel like this is what Prokhorov is leaving on Sean Mark's voicemail, you know.
Yeah.
Pokemon nights.
I love Pokemon yes. nights. Yeah, yeah.
So, Matt, my question for you is, first of all, have you played Pokemon Go?
No, but I've seen people play it.
You are aware of this game.
I'm aware of this game.
Matt, my question for you, where do you think Pokemon Go will be 5 years from now? I mean, do you think it's going to be like the next Facebook, like the next big thing? Or do you think it'll be like the next Pokemon cards? Like,
yeah.
No one gives a fuck anymore.
I don't want to be like the guy who turns his nose up at things, so this is not an answer in that way, but it seems like it rose in popularity so quickly.
Yeah.
People have got to get bored with it. You're
collecting digital Pokemon.
So. Yeah, I don't know what the just because it's so I think the activeness is what drove people to it, the getting and walking around, getting them, doing that exploring. I think that's what drove people to it. I also think that's what will drive people away from it.
Americans will go back to their natural habitat of the couch.
Maybe, or maybe just that, maybe the next thing in that vein will come along and push Pokemon out. There's got to be only so many Pokemon you can collect, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I have no idea, actually.
Yeah, it's...
They'll keep cranking them out if it makes them money.
I think it was a great idea. I admire the ingenuity. Yeah, it can't have a decade-long lifespan, I wouldn't imagine.
Well, that's a relief. I was really afraid that Pokemon Go might take over the world, so thanks for helping me sleep tonight.
This was an official... Okay. I didn't know that this was the official...
You decree what happens
decree
to Pokemon,
on Pokemon Go.
On the next episode of Brick House.
We got team number 29 coming up. We're just getting started. This next team may think they're done with the process, but the process is not done with them, Matt. And I'm promising an appearance from our favorite flightless bird on the next episode of Brick House.